Welcome to the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. This is the place where you'll get practical, actionable help on how you can preach and lead better. Our ministry partner for this episode is Disciple Labs. Disciple Labs is a brand new tool that will help you measure what matters most. Most of us, we measure baptisms, giving, attendance, those kinds of things. But what if we could measure and help our people realize how they're really doing in their walk with God? Well, Disciple Labs is the answer. They just released a brand new feature that will allow you, if there's someone who maybe has a deficiency in prayer, you can set up customizable next steps to inform them automatically, hey, here's something you can do to improve your prayer life. It's a really great tool. Highly recommend you check it out and learn more. If you want to learn more, go to rookiepreacher.com/disciplelabs. That's rookiepreacher.com/disciplelabs. If you're like a lot of preachers, you love to be able to use all those things you learned in seminary and Bible college, and you dive into the Greek, you figure out what the author's intended meaning was. You love to look at commentaries and see how people are examining these, you know, scholars who are reading scripture all the time and writing about scripture all the time and trying to figure out what the cultural situations were. And I love that too. But one thing we need to keep in mind as preachers is that the sermon is not a Bible study. The sermon is something more. The sermon takes the truth of the text and puts flesh on it. It takes what the scriptures say and intersects it with life today. And so oftentimes what we do is we get into the text, we dive in, we spend 10, 15 hours looking at that, and then we leave it incomplete because then we just start writing a sermon. We put 3 points together, a poem and a prayer, and we call it good. Expecting that our people can just simply apply it on their own. But what I'm convinced is that that's not the end of the story with the biblical text. We have some more things to do with it so that we might be able to put flesh on it and give people some application that really does impact their life today, because God wants to impact our lives today. You believe it, I believe it, and our people who are expectant believe it. And so we need to do a little bit more with that biblical text than just study what it originally meant. There are specifically 5 things I believe we need to do with the biblical text. And today on the Preaching and Leadership Podcast, we're going to be diving into each one of those. Because what's at stake is people actually taking their faith and implementing it into their lives. And if that's what we want, if we want people to dive in and live out their faith in God, then let's give them some practical ways to do that. Let's not just leave it up to them to apply the text. And so I'm excited to dive in. I'm excited to see what these 5 things are that we can do with the biblical text after we've studied it. So, let's dive in. Okay, so you've studied the biblical text, you've prayed through that process, you've taken notes, you understand the flow of the immediate text you're preaching on, and you understand the context it fits into. Now, it's time to start thinking through the sermon writing process and how you're going to present the text in the sermon. So here's the question we're going to examine. What are some things preachers must do in order to preach the biblical text well? When it all comes down to it, how we handle the biblical text is all that truly matters. And if we have an amazing story to begin, but our preaching of the Bible passage is meh, then we've missed the mark by a mile. And for those of you familiar with the sticky sermon structure, I'll leave a link to the show notes inside the show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP1515. We're going to be working through the truth and application sections of the sermon. So let's dive in. Number one, teach it. This is where we dive in. So answer the questions. What was the cultural context of the original recipients of the text? What was the context of the writer? What's the flow of the entire book? And how does that passage fit into it? Are there some phrases or cultural things that need clarity for us to understand them? See, teaching the biblical text means that we take our hearers on a journey to another world, the world of biblical authors and their hearers and readers. My conviction here is why I avoid reading like 40,000 individual verses in a sermon. I want to slow down and spend the time not just reading a bunch of verses, but actually teach the biblical text, preferably one Bible passage, one pericope for my fellow seminary nerds. We must help our people understand what the Bible actually means in this specific text. We must help them see what God is saying in and through the biblical text. So that's number one, teach it. Number two, apply it. If we've understood the text well, we can bridge the meaning to today. What ought we do in response to the truth of this passage? How does this text intersect with everyday life? How could a single person take this and live it out? A married person, a parent, a teenager, a child. How could they take this and live it out in everyday life, dealing with the things that they're going to deal with? So while teaching the text well requires good exegesis of the text, applying the text requires good exegesis of our people. You know, what are they dealing with and how does this text address those things? When we're thinking through how we can apply the text, we must simply take the truth and embed it into life today. We need to insert it into life today. How does this apply to this scenario and that scenario and that scenario over there? So if we know our people well, if we know human tendencies and human struggles well, we'll be able to apply the text well. This is why, in my opinion, incarnational ministry is so important. In other words, being involved in the life of your people as much as possible. Like, I understand that you're one person and, you know, you're not going to be able to hang out with and be friends with every single person in your church, even if your church is 100 people or 80 people. Like, none of us have 80 close friends. It's just not reality. It's not, you know, it's just not something you can expect. But if we are spending the time with our people and doing life with them and keeping up with what's going on, we know what they're dealing with. We know what their tendencies are. We know that, you know, there are certain people in our lives that are doing this. We know that certain people in our churches that are doing that. And so we can take all those things, all that data, and put it together and consider it when we are applying the text. But let's not stop there. Because in the midst of applying the biblical text to life, we must give some flavor and color to the picture. And that's where the next thing comes into play. That's number three, and that's illustrate it. So far, number one, teach it. Number two, apply it. Number three, illustrate it. Sermon illustrations can be a useful and even a powerful tool for helping our people not only understand, but also feel. I don't know if you knew this, but we make decisions based on emotion rather than logic. That's typically how we make decisions. And if that's true, then the question we must ask is, how do we connect with the heart? It's a fleeting thing just to connect with someone's mind and not actually connect with their heart. Because again, we make decisions based on emotion rather than logic. You can check the show notes. I've got a link in there that talks about this very fact. rookiepreacher.com/PLP15. You know, an illustration, a story, a picture. These are vehicles that can go where prose cannot. If we only show here is what this means and here is how this connects to everyday life, then we are shortchanging our hearers because we're only staying on the interstate. And you and I both know that to get to the best views, we must get off the interstate and go hiking. We need to get down in the dirt and start walking. And when we illustrate the truth, we help people connect the truth to their emotions. And in other words, the path from the head to the heart often happens when we're taken on a journey where truth was applied or not applied in someone's life. If you can share a personal story, that's best. If not, look for things you've observed in life. I'll have a couple links to some places you can also find sermon illustrations throughout the internet, and I'll leave a couple of links for that in the show notes as well. But what the illustrations do is it gives people a frame of reference that they can start to see the truth in a new way. It gives us perspective. It gives us a new lens to look through. It gives us clarity to be able to see things because we think in comparisons. We think in analogies. And when we simply do our hearers a favor, when we actually say, hey, we understand that we're not just preaching the Bible, but we're preaching to people. Like, they are our hearers. We're not just simply trying to understand what this means, but we are trying to get them to feel it and to understand it. And an illustration, a good illustration, does both. It helps people understand it, and it helps people feel it. And they'll be able to see it in a new way. So, number one, teach it. Number two, apply it. Number three, illustrate it. And now number four, distinguish it. So if applying it looks at what the truth looks like lived out today, then distinguishing it looks at a couple things. Number one, it looks at how we often miss the mark on living the truth out. And number two, how we can misapply the biblical text to life. So oftentimes, like, this is where we must look at the biblical text through the lens of kind of like, for example, moralistic therapeutic deism, and destroy it with a gospel right hook. You know, the Christian life is not a life lived through willpower, but through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling the Christian and leading them to righteousness along the road of sanctification. We miss the mark. We need Christ to account for our sin and release us from its bondage. This is where we preach the good news. We compare it to what life offers. We compare it to what we typically think life is supposed to be about. Moralistic therapeutic deism is simply like one of the big things is that God wants us to be happy. And the reality is that if we're preaching on something about suffering, well, God may use that, and he may even use difficulty as a you know, molding point in our lives where we actually get to have character produced inside of us. And so, you know, God is not just wanting us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. It's something other, like another level. He doesn't want everything to work out for us in every moment of every day, because then we would not go to him. And so this is where we need to distinguish it from what we might already believe, or we need to distinguish it from what we might already do. And that's distinguishing it. Preach the good news. Number five, portabilize it. I love this part. Everything in our messages ought to be driving toward one big idea, and we must make that big idea portable. This is just what I believe. I mean, you can have 40 points if you want to, but I don't think people are going to remember them. And so my conviction is that we need to have one point and drive everything toward it. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's the worship pastor at our church at The Crossing. And he's like a bow hunter guy. And, you know, he's got a bow. And we're having this this event at our church, like a 3D archery shoot. And I don't have any, like, a bow or anything, so I'm not going to be able to go. But he had one of his, like, arrows in his office just hanging out. And I was looking at it yesterday, and I was talking to him about it. And we just got on the subject of, like, what an arrow does, like, to a deer, or what would do to a person. And he's talking about how, like, how much force is behind that one little point, and through that one long, skinny stick, basically, that is an arrow, and how much force goes through it because it's one singularly focused thing, and all the kinetic energy that's going through it, it ends up driving it through a deer. It ends up driving it. It would drive it through a person. He doesn't know that from experience, but, you know, you can put 2 + 2 together and it equals 4. And so it's not something that's just going to get stuck in somebody. So here's my point in that. One big idea has a lot of kinetic energy that will go through all the fluff, all the, you know, cobwebs of life, and it will go through and it will penetrate our hearers' hearts. That's what I believe. I think that's true. But in order to portabilize the truth of the biblical text, we need to boil it down to a memorable statement. So here's a couple of ways, a few ways we can do this. The first one is to make it rhyme. This is a bottom line from a sermon Andy Stanley preached, and I still remember it to today, even though when I heard it, it was years ago. He said, "There's no win in comparison. There's no win in comparison." Andy Stanley. So make it rhyme, or you can make it alliterated. This is from a sermon I preached on single-mindedness. I said, "If you want your life to count, be gripped by the God of grace." And so those repetition of the G at the end alliterates it. If you want your life to count, be gripped by the God of grace. Or you can make it echo. This is from a sermon I preached on the doctrine of humanity. You are of infinite worth to the infinite God. So we just echoed the word infinite. You are of infinite worth to the infinite God. Or you can make it a metaphor. This is from a sermon I preached on the commandment, do not murder. The root of murder is anger. Only God can uproot it from our hearts. So you're looking at, you know, murder as a plant, and just gives a metaphor. The root of murder is anger. Only God can uproot it from our hearts. He's the gardener. Or you can make it contrast. Carrie Newhoff, who you probably know, Carrie Newhoff, carrienewhoff.com, lead or founding and teaching pastor of Kinexus Church. He said, a life devoted to self ultimately leaves you alone. You make it contrast. A life devoted to self ultimately leaves you alone. So here's the thing. Preach one point and make it sticky. Make it sticky. And in our book, Preaching Sticky Sermons, Joe Hoagland and I, we dive into how to prepare, write, and deliver memorable sermons. And so if you found this episode helpful, then I think you'll find our book even more helpful. And here's another thing. Here in September, in about a month, we are reopening the doors to Sticky Sermons Academy. And so I'm really excited about this because we're going to have some new bonus videos in the bonus section that we're going to be releasing to everyone who's already in there here soon. But if you want to get on the waiting list, it's available and open to get on the waiting list. You just go to www.stickysermons.academy and you can get on the waiting list. If you are connected with us via email, you get all of our emails. You'll also hear about it, and we'll definitely keep you up to date on the blog as well and on the podcast. So that'll do it for another episode of the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. If you found this helpful, could you go on to iTunes and leave a rating and a review? That would be so helpful because that will tell iTunes, hey, this is important to pastors. Get it in front of more people. So it'll do that, and I'd be very thankful if you did that. And you can find more preaching and leadership resources at rookiepreacher.com. You can find all of our free resources there. You just click download and we'll send it right to you. So that'll do it. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.